Rick Emerson radio program, the Halloween version. It's 503-733-75. Ah, crap. Shut up. It's hard. It's 503-733-2970. I was all distracted by the ugly kid jokes. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Coming up later on in the program, we got Dennis Pitsenbarger from the Portland Tribune is going to join us here, and we'll be doing the top two. Let's now welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Rick Emerson Show from the City of Angels. Jim Roof from CNN. Hello, sir. Yeah, okay. We've all got a little wacky today. Let me ask you this, Jim. Yeah. I'm just going to give you a little pop quiz. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I would like to know where the intelligence of this program lies, perhaps relative to some sort of external control source.
I believe you.
Are you going to ask him about cows?
I'm sorry. What was that, Jim? I was being interrupted by someone.
The intelligence lies with you.
Yeah, well, I'd like to think so. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. In your estimation, can cows, and when I say cows, I mean what Tim Riley would refer to as a moo cow, can a cow run?
Never seen it.
See? That's what I'm saying.
In fact, I've never seen a cow move. I think someone goes out every day and places them where they are.
They're sort of like pink flamingos, only they're cows.
I swear to you, I made a comment to my brother one day. We were driving to Utah. I said, I've never seen a cow move. It's like they're just there.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's funny now that you mentioned it. They're sort of just like big furry grain silos.
Yeah.
They're just sort of around. Okay, fair point. Well, see, there you go. That's what I'm saying. Okay, I just want to make sure that it wasn't just me. By the way, Tim Riley, just in case you're curious about this, Tim Riley has given us permission to eat him should we ever all be trapped in a mine together. I have called dibs on the thigh. Sarah's stuck with the ass, I believe.
Oh, for the rump.
Sarah's going for Tim's rump.
Man, so much you claim the ribs.
Well, there you go. See, you could be the first.
Thank you.
Yeah, that Baumgarten guy's not calling in anymore. So you move up one in line. You can beat him to the punch on that. So there you go. All right. You know, can we just get, we should be able to get like one of those visible man things. Like in the middle of your science book, it was all like... It was like a
oh yeah yeah
like a plasticky couple pages where
and
you like,
just label the parts that you claim.
That's what I'm saying. We all got to call dibs on Tim Riley's bits.
Meat.
So there you
dibs on Riley's meat.
It's like, and you know, here's the funny thing is, this whole thing was prompted by a joke that like 3% of the audience gets and that I won't ever be able to pay off because I can't find the song anywhere. It was all predicated on that song Timothy by the Boys.
Oh, sure, yeah.
See, it seemed like they trapped in a mind. But you see, you know the song, and I know the song, and Tim Riley, of course, knows it because he was tormented with it, I believe, for many years growing up. We were going to do a top five spookiest pop songs.
I'll bet you I could find that song for you.
See, if somebody out there can find the song Timothy by the Boys, and that's Boys like a Boy in the Water.
That's got to be like 1972, something like that.
73, I believe. I might be wrong about that, but I believe it's 73. I believe it was because I believe that there exists a Billboard music compilation in which that is one of the top pop hits of 1973. It's called Timothy. I'm not encouraging illegal file sharing or piracy, of course. I'm simply saying from a journalistic point of view, if you can find a copy of Timothy by the Boys, which is B-U-O-Y-S, and send that along, I'll give it away. That's actually going to be in our top... we were going to do this top five spookiest songs. I was able to get two of them. So now we have a top two. So, there you go. It's a creepy song, though. So we've been making jokes about calling parts of dibs on parts of Tim's body in case we're all trapped in a mine together. And it's, which I guess is moderately amusing, regardless of who you are and whether you know the song
Certainly.
Or not. So, there you go. Anyway, well, and so forth. Now, I apologize here because as we're talking, I'm attempting to navigate the CNN Radio affiliate website here because there is a note.
That's why.
Have you seen today's CNN prep sheet?
I don't look.
Here's what it says. Halloween and kids, Jim Roop, blah, blah, blah. And then it says, and this is a compliment to you, because we often dog on the folks at CNN, and we have our the criticisms of them. But it actually, Laura has typed here in big letters, all caps, bold, italicized, about your raps here. Make sure you hear these! 3 exclamation marks. She's very excited about your raps today.
Well, good for her.
So I'm just saying. The only question is, I have no idea where to find them. I'm looking at the CNN radio net website here, and I have no idea where your raps would be.
I just throw them out there, and they do with them what they will.
Yeah, I'm trying to find them. Apparently, they're fascinating. Well, what did you talk to the? Because they had you talking to the children, America's.
I just went to a local elementary school, started talking to some kiddies, and.
Does anybody screw with you when you do that? Like, if you walk onto a playground with a microphone.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm here to speak to your children.
Yeah, I used to do it. I used to make it easy and go to where my kids go to school.
Yeah.
And that got boring after a while.
Because, hello, Mr. Roop.
Yeah. So then I just moved on to other elementary schools, and it takes a while now to navigate yourself into a situation where they trust you enough to let you on their campus.
Yeah, I have that problem, too. Usually, if you carry some chloroform, you can get right past them. Like the first 3 or 4 steps, they go by a lot faster. I'm scrolling through this now, and believe me when I tell you that for like 2 hours I've been trying to find these because I wanted to have them when you came on the air today, but I got nothing. So
I mean, you're not missing anything.
So what do the little tykes have to say?
Well, yeah, I just ask simple questions like, do you know what the words trick or treat mean? None of them do. They just know it results in candy. A lot of them thought it was one word, trick or treat.
Kids are a very bottom line kind of species.
But when I was a kid, we knew what it meant, and we were prepared with a trick if we didn't get a treat. Sometimes you knock on somebody's door, and Mr. Rosenberg didn't give you anything.
Did you really just use the phrase, when I was a kid? Things were different when I was a boy.
Well, they were.
Oh, my God.
What?
Well, I've just been handed breaking news. Wait, hold on. This is from Tim Riley. Let me find my...
Bob Barker retires.
Oh, you bastard. Oh, I don't even have the sound effect ready. All right, there we go. Okay, yeah, Bob Barker, the price, no longer right. That's what it says here. Bob Barker's
Did
hanging...
Did you just use the phrase, the price is no longer right?
I'm just reading the headline.
All right.
Bob Barker is hanging up the mic on The Price is Right. The 82. Here's the thing: is we're talking about today, and then tomorrow this is going to be one of your little stories on the CNN thing, and I'm going to pretend that we're finding out about it.
I was going to file on it the moment I hung up with you.
Boy, and you know tomorrow they're going to be like Jim Roop is available, so let's all pretend tomorrow that we haven't already covered this story. But boy, he looks old here.
He'll be 83 in December.
Yeah, so he's going to end it next June.
Yeah, but we knew that was coming.
I suppose, did we?
Well, yeah, he's been talking, he's been hinting at it for a while. He's got this animal rights thing that he wants to spend more time with, that he named after his wife and his mom. And, he just kind of, it's getting a little old for him, as much as he says he loves it. But this guy's had one hell of a career. I mean, he went from being a Navy pilot to radio to television in 1956 with Truth or Consequences. Remember that show?
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
Then, 1972, he hopped onto The Price is Right. He's been riding that one for a while.
Well, I mean, look, and I'm not saying that his life hasn't had its ups and downs, but that's like the easiest money you're ever going to make.
Oh, yeah, son.
I mean, yeah, it's just like you said. So, let's play Plinko again. Let's take the Walk of Death over to the, you know, the Showcase Showdown.
Walk of Death.
You know, I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, that whole, I mean, how exciting can it be to see some fat housefrau punch through a piece of paper and pull out a thing that gets her a microwave?
Oh,
you know
I know.
What I mean? So, well, there you go. All right. Well,
I mean, it, like you said, it was a great career for him, and God love him and all that crap, and let's find somebody to replace him.
Can I just tell you this, though, that Tim ran in, mouth agog, face agape, clutching the piece of paper with Bob Barker. I'm like, someone's died. And he handed me the piece of paper, and I look at it, Bob Barker, and I'm like, Bob Barker's dead. And then I get that great, horrible thrill that you get as a news, you know, person, as a broadcaster, that you're manning the boards for a celebrity death. And then I was just kind of bummed out to see he was only retired. And then I felt guilty for being bummed out that he was still alive. That's the panoply of emotions that Rick Emerson goes through, Jim Roop.
Well, but that's your journalistic side coming through.
It is what I do. It's not just because I'm a horrible person. That's
You're
part
not
of
a horrible person. Oh, wait a minute. Here, I found 1973. Let me take a look real quick here.
Are you looking up Timothy to see when Timothy was a hit?
Well, I got a bunch of CDs here.
Intent. Good for you. All right.
No, it's not on here.
You know what? I'll just I'll amuse myself on this end while you... I'll just play the sound effect of scissors cutting hair.
I don't have it. But I had it.
All right. Well, we got nothing. All right.
Sorry, man.
Well, that's okay. If anybody out there's got Timothy by the Boys, send it along so I can play it, and then we'll all pretend to be surprised when I play it later on. But, yeah, the top five scariest pop songs. I've only got two of them. Although, I think Dead Man's Curve, I think, is, I did not compile this top five. That was our friend Clyde Lewis did that. But I think Dead Man's Curve is on that. That's certainly got to be one of our sister stations.
Jan and Dean. Yeah.
Jan and Dean. Isn't one of those guys dead? Isn't what's his name? Isn't Jan finally dead?
No, I think they're both still alive.
All right. I'm not sure about that.
I
don't know.
You might be right.
I don't know. Let's take a call about cows.
Okay.
Let's see. Let's skip the one that says exciting cow castration story. Let's go to this one. Don, hello. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, what's up, Don?
Yeah, on the questions of cows running.
Uh-huh.
There's two events you forgot about. One's called bullfighting, and the other is the rodeo.
Okay, don't be smart. That's a
that's all about cows.
Okay,
running.
That's about a bull running, which is not the same thing as a cow, Mr. Man.
The bull's the same thing as a cow.
Oh, really? Are you the same thing as your wife?
Let's not get personal.
No, I'm saying one.
I'm almost sad.
I'm saying one is a male, one is a female.
But
that's all I'm saying.
They're under the generic heading of cows.
Oh, kind of like we're people.
Yes, and also in the rodeo, there's an event called cutting, in which men on horses, people on horses, try to separate cows into bunches, and the big problem is the cows keep running everywhere. So that's why it's so difficult.
I never thought we would be having a news segment in which there's the phrase, the big problem is the cows keep running everywhere. And how
Well, you needed to be corrected severely.
And how do you feel? How do you think the horses feel about being used to run down cows? Is that like,
well, especially trained horses? That's what.
Do horses and cows have kind of like a dog and cat kind of relationship? Is that the thing where horses?
No, you have to train a horse.
Really?
Horses are really afraid of cows.
Really?
Well,
cows are mean.
Why would you be afraid? What does a cow ever do? What is a cow ever going to do to you?
They have horns.
Cows don't have horns. Bulls have horns.
Cows have horns.
Cows.
Have you ever heard of a Texas Longhorn? You think they're all male cows? No.
See what I have to put up with, Jim?
Have you ever seen bullfighting? They have horns.
Okay, again, bull.
Bull's not a cow.
A bull's not a cow.
The generic heading of cow.
You know, Jim works for CNN. Are you telling Jim Roop that CNN is wrong about this?
Well, I listen to Fox. I don't trust
CNN. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. And wait, hold on. No, we're losing your call, I'm afraid. Oh, I'm sorry, Don. Oh, no. Don, are you still there? Don? Oh, for the love of... No, we lost Don. That's too bad. All right, Jim.
Hey, I found Timothy, 1971, it says here.
1971, Timothy. It's a great song. It's a creepy song. One of those songs...
Music and lyrics by Rupert Holmes.
The same guy that wrote the Pina Colada song. Absolutely true. He's very weird. So, all right, well, as a final note here, because we really should tie this back into... We'll do a callback and tie back into the Halloween here. So when Mr... What were you saying? Mr. Rosencrantz or whatever his name was?
Yeah, Rosenberg.
What is it you would do to him if he didn't give you something?
Yeah, you soap his windows, you...
Shoot him in the head. Break his legs.
Like a dog pooping a bag on fire. You know, I mean,
Did you really do that? Did you really?
Oh, I've done that, yeah.
You really did the flaming poo.
As God is my witness.
God love you, Jim Roop. That's one of the reasons that we, that's one of the reasons we...
Put vaseline on people's doorknobs, you know.
Seduce their daughters. You know, so if they don't get the hint the first time, maybe I come back with a tire iron.
There's more than one use for Vaseline.
Oh, wait. Fantastic. Wait, hold on. That requires Ed McCarthy. Excellent. All right. Jim Roop, enjoy your Halloween. Big plans with the kids? You going out tonight?
Yeah, I have to, I think.
See, that's the sound of parental love right there. No choice. Have to.
I try to get out of it.
Do people still trick-or-treat in L.A.?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, but we just go to the rich people's neighborhood.
I was going
to
say, because they don't even trick-or-treat in my neighborhood, and that's in Portland. So, I mean, so you just go, you know, at least you're not doing that thing where you go to the mall and you walk from store to store.
No, I refuse to do that.
No, that's retarded.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm trying to start a trend right now, actually. I was talking to Scotty J about this. I'm trying to start a trend on this program where we're going to try to de-pussify this whole generation of children.
That's impossible.
No, I'm saying right now, I know, it's a big task. We're biting off a lot, but
you don't want to get me started on this, man.
I I'm going to try to get everybody to once again start homemaking their Halloween goods. And when the parents bitch about it, just tell the parents to get stuffed.
You know, we're not breeding men anymore, bud.
That's what I'm saying. It is not a world of men.
It is not.
It's you and me and McCarthy. We're the last of a breed.
I'm telling you.
Bob Costantini, I'm still not sure about. You know, he's a little too reserved. That guy's, I love him, but he's like one big gray flannel suit. You know what I mean? It's like his phone call comes in black and white. It really is true. All right, Jim, we got to run, brother. Happy Halloween.
Thank you, sir.
There you go. Thank you. This is Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen, in Los Angeles. All right, there. That's all I'm saying. All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I'll tell you what, we'll take a little bit of a break here. We'll come back. Coming around the corner, more from Tim Riley. A tough two. More cow calls. Yeah, I really never anticipated that this would happen. Well, what can you do? All right, back after this, the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Happy Halloween. We're back after this. It's Wednesday 13, by the way. 503-733-2970. Just a few moments. We will be joined by our good friend Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. All right, I swear to God, this is the last cow call I'm ever going to take. Ever. I don't care if my whole family is killed by a herd of rampaging cows from Mars next month. We're never taking another, let's see here. We'll do this and we'll get Tom. Then we've got Tim in just a skosh, and then Dennis Pitzenbarger up later. Plus our top two on this Halloween. Scott, hello, sir.
Hey.
Hey.
I've seen cows run, Rick.
Okay.
I used to hunt in eastern Oregon on a ranch.
Okay.
They run for two reasons. You scare them.
Because you're shooting at them with a gun?
Well, no, any kind of noise. I mean, you got coyotes, and they're prey species. They're skittish. Or you threaten their calf, and that's scary.
And then they run.
Oh, they run at you. They are very protective.
That's so good. All right. What does it feel like to be run at by a rampaging cow, sir?
What's that?
Nothing. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate the call.
Yep.
All right, there you go. And we're done with that. Okay, one more. Tom, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
I'm sure I have it on Reel to Reel someplace. Timothy by the Buoys.
Timothy, on Reel to Reel even.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I was 17, and that's what we did when you didn't have enough money to buy albums.
Excellent.
Got a Reel to Reel.
Oh, no, trust me. I have some of my, there weren't ones that I myself had, but I did have... I own some reel-to-reels that I either found in stores that were given to me by older relatives or something. I got to bring them in here and transfer them one of these days, actually. Although Super Digital, I know they do that kind of stuff,
right,
too.
I've got about 40-some of these things that I did from, I don't know, 14 to another 5-10 years.
I got a whole bunch of my radio air checks and just did a crap that's just moldering away in the basement. Yeah.
What you got to understand, though, is that there was a lot of weird, freaky stuff on at that time. It was, 71, 72, they said?
Yeah.
and Vietnam was still going on for a couple more years, and I'm looking at my list of stuff that I made, and stuff like Hogan's Heroes was still on CBS First Run TV, and Dick Cavachol was still on, Mission Impossible was still on, and the Superfly movies were big.
So really, when the archaeologists from another time and planet come, we're going to send them right to your house.
Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So if I find that, because I got to go dig it out someplace, I'll probably put it on mini disc.
If you find, yeah, please do that. I don't know that we're going to ever come across it today. If you find a copy of Timothy, the song Timothy by the Boys, you hook a brother up with that.
We'll bring it by.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. And there's Tom. Okay, and we're done. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, please now to be welcoming into your hearts and minds, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Midgets doing well. Too injured in that weekend pumpkin catapult accident. Are home safe and sound.
I bet this was all a stunt for the reality program.
It could be. Jake and Roloff, who's 9 years old, and Mike Getjan, 58, seriously injured at Roloff's family farm. The boy was reportedly playing near the 25-foot catapult when it fired prematurely, whipping Roloff in the face. Oh.
Oh. Oh, damn.
Oh, I can just feel that.
Let's all stop to feel it now. 3,000-pound counterweight. Mm. All right. Really?
This is a 2,000-pound concrete counterweight.
Now, here's the thing. And
hitting Denchin, who was helping to launch pumpkins.
And I know that I'm not supposed to be pontificate about these things at all because I don't have chillins. But here's the thing. If you can't, like, if you don't have the foresight to keep your, how old is the kid?
Nine.
Really, I, you know, nine-year-olds ought to just be kept in a rubberized room for most of the day. But if you can't keep your nine-year-old kid away from a 2,000-pound counterweighted catapult, you know, maybe you ought to refocus your energies as a parent. That's all I'm saying.
It gets worse here.
Oh, great.
Roloff's skull was dented. Required surgery.
Oh.
Denchin had 200 stitches.
Oh.
The family is featured on the Learning Channel's Little People, Big World. His father, Matt, said it was a fluke thing, but we want to make sure it never happens again.
Yeah.
I think we can all say that.
Seriously. Good God Almighty. All right. Well, there you go. Wait, hold on. Do we have some sort of a sound effect for that, Scott?
Something kooky?
No. That's not really the...
Oh, well. Back to the old catapult. Oh.
Wait, hold on. Hey, Scott, what... We have a terrifying...
Yodley.
No, that's really wrong. Mm-hmm. All right, here's Tim Riley. Why is that in the Halloween sound effects folder?
Yodley.
Okay, here's Tim Riley.
Here are three words you never hear very often. A fiery John Kerry said he would make no apology for a comment in which he said, those who do not pursue an education will be stuck in Iraq. Kerry said he wanted to make it crystal clear that he would make no apologies for a comment that was designed to be a joke about the Bush administration's broken policy in Iraq.
The White House's attempt to distort my true statement is a remarkable testament to...
No one cares.
...their abject failure
Shut
in making America safe.
God, just go away. Go away.
He's not going to.
It's just a reminder of bitter failure and defeat. That's what that guy is. A reminder of the triumph of mediocrity in this fading republic.
Mm-hmm. He stands by his comments about Bush's Iraq policy.
Let me make it crystal clear.
Let me speak really loudly.
As I know how. Mm. I apologize to no one for my criticism of the president and of his broken policy.
All right, yeah, okay.
Meanwhile, Arizona Senator and Vietnam Vet John McCain calls on Kerry to apologize to our troops.
And I believe that Senator Kerry owes an apology to many thousands of Americans serving in Iraq who answered their country's call because they are patriots.
Make your own recording.
Not because of any deficiencies in their education.
Totally. That's
just a quarter.
That's way better than the joke I was going to use.
Yeah. Fantastic. All right. Well, that's what you get for being old. Kerry says Representative John McCain of Arizona knows he supports the troops and shouldn't work for an apology from Kerry.
And John McCain ought to ask for an apology from Donald Rumsfeld for making the mistakes he's made. John McCain ought to ask for an apology from this administration for not sending in enough troops.
For the love of God Almighty. We're done. You know, here's the thing. Where was any of the... I can't believe I'm going to use the word gumption. But really, where was this...
Intuitiveness.
Where is this gumption in 2004? I mean, this is... John Kerry is being exactly like that guy who is just a complete and total spineless sissy during the bar fight. And then after the guy is already in handcuffs and being dragged away...
Throws salt in his eyes.
Taunting him. Come back here. I'll bust your crap up. You know, as the guy is being shoved into the back of a squad car. Good God almighty. All right, fine.
Well, let's go on to other politicians, shall we? There's plenty of interesting ones out there. A University of Virginia law student caused a scene at George Allen's campaign rally today in Charlottesville, Virginia. A CameraCon student, Michael Stark, shouting a question at Allen, asking whether or not he ever spat at his first wife. Allen declined to answer the question, and Stark was then pushed away from the senator and tackled by a former county GOP official.
Let's move on.
Senator Allen, hey. If you spit on your first wife...
Oh, now you're getting personal.
Out of here.
Now you're getting personal.
Hank, now you're getting personal. You mean, I didn't touch anybody.
Okay. You need to move on out of here now.
If the hotel asks me to leave, I'd leave.
Should you spit on your first wife? Where the hell did that come from?
I don't know. It's interesting, though, isn't it?
It really is interesting and fascinating. All right. Well, let's hear that one more time, no, shall we? This is, let's see.
And John McCain.
No. Oh, no, that's right.
Let's move on.
Senator Allen, hey. If you spit on your first wife.
Excellent. There you go. Just when you think the politics are going to be dry and dull. And, see, right there? That in just like 3 seconds. That's way more interesting than all of those John Kerry. Mm-hmm. Because here's the... I'm not... Oh, never mind. You know what? I'm not even going to talk about the John Kerry thing. It's just pointless. It's just pointless! Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move on.
But it's funny, isn't it?
All right.
Now, let's go on to B because we have more...
Are we loading bank B
here? We are, certainly. Right, as we speak, yes, please
all
do.
All right, hold on. And with the... Okay, and I'm ready.
On the Fox News Channel today, the president praised Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman for his support of the Iraq War. Lieberman's Democratic opponent, Ned Lamont, says it's another sign that the senator's a little bit too chummy with the White House.
Clearly, President Bush and Dick Cheney are out there campaigning for Joe Lieberman. They think it's a vote that they can count upon in a pinch.
Well, Lieberman says he doesn't want to be a political plaything to anyone.
I'm running on my own based on my record, and as far as I'm concerned,
so much
what this campaign is about is between the people of Connecticut and me and their decision as to who can be the best senator for them.
Now, if I can't believe you ate the Achmonic's cat again, how am I ever going to explain this?
Anyway, Lieberman says as a petitioning candidate, his name will appear at the bottom of the ballot on Election Day, below all the major and minor party candidates. Lieberman today launched an effort to help voters locate him.
Walk into that voting booth. Looking for the real truth. Vote your mind. Find Jolie. Bottom line.
I don't understand what that is.
It was kind of a karaoke type of thing, but he didn't know all the words. It was a Joe Lieberman jingle.
He doesn't know his own. And the best part is, he's doing what you see a million people doing at concerts sometimes, where they don't really know the song, but they can sort of puzzle out what the final syllable of the second line is going to be from the final syllable of the first line.
I'd like to hear that again.
Yeah, totally. Let's hear that one more time, shall we?
Walk into the voting booth. Looking for the real truth. Vote your mind. Find Jolie. Bottom line.
He doesn't remember his name. He couldn't even get his name right.
Well, it's actually because clearly not even he would vote for Joe Lieberman. Okay, now where is that from? Is that
a campaign jingle for him.
Is it available on like joelieberman.com? Oh, please.
Oh, I don't know.
Please.
I just found that.
In the name of sweet God, let it be so. All right. By the way, if I sound a little distracted, I'm on the trail of somebody who I believe has the song Timothy by the Boys.
Oh, I'd like
that. Which would actually bring our top five to a top three, at least, which is somewhat less embarrassing. All right. I got to hear that one more time. Hold on. I'm sorry.
Walk into the voting booth. Looking for the real truth. Vote your mind. Find Jolie. Bottom line.
I think he's even got the... I don't even think he's got the words right. That's the irony there.
He kind of tripped over his last name.
But I don't think that... I do not think it says what he thinks it says. That last line, he's just saying his own name. Lieberman, but I...
Walk into the voting booth.
Okay, let's take this in steps. What is he saying in this
final line? Walk into that voting booth, there you'll find the real truth. Good.
Walk into that voting booth.
Looking for the real truth.
Vote your mind. Find Jolie. Bottom line.
Find Joe Lieberman on the bottom line.
I don't think that's what they're saying. I think that he's singing one thing, and they're singing something entirely different. Okay, I have to do this one more time.
Walk into that voting booth.
Okay, and
real.
And I have this has to be asked.
Aren't you glad you don't live in Connecticut?
These are the things that fascinate me. Sarah's literally putting her head in her hands. I want to know, where is this taking place that he is
in Connecticut.
No, I understand that, but like, where is he here in this clip that his sound, that his staff is allowing him to be filmed?
Oh, I see.
Like
I see.
Like, wouldn't you think that you would know to keep the candidate away from cameras at moments like this?
Voting booth. Real truth. Vote your mind. Vote your mind. Bottom line.
Okay. Whatever.
He's singing his name. It doesn't sound like it's in the song.
So it's not really. So not even his own jingle has his name in it. So his campaign jingle
maybe
actually.
Maybe find Joe on the bottom line.
Let's listen again, shall we?
To the voting booth. Real truth. Vote your mind. Find Joe the bottom line.
I think it's find Joe on the bottom line.
Okay. Well, if only he knew that. Somebody should email him. Email Joe Lieberman, won't you please, and tell him the lyrics to his own campaign jingle. Thank you. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton calls the Bush administration's foreign policy a landscape of failure and disorder.
Fantastic. The lost opportunities of the years since September 11th are the stuff of tragedy. Remember the people rallying in sympathy on the streets of Tehran. The famous headline, "We are all Americans now." 5 years later, much of the world wonders what America is now.
Watch out for snakes.
I always make that joke, and there's like one person out there who gets it. It doesn't matter. Hey, somebody has sent me the song Timothy.
All right.
Fantastic. We'll do our top three here in just a moment. Here's Tim Riley.
Popeye Carl Madonna appears to be testing her newly adopted son.
Popeye Con.
Oh, okay.
Not Popeye. It was all Popeye Con.
Popeye Con Madonna.
Seriously, I was like, who's conning Popeye?
Madonna.
If you give me the spinach today, I will gladly pay you Tuesday. Seriously. No, I really will. I'll pay you Tuesday.
Well, she's teaching her newly adopted son the ways of her religion. A photograph of the singer arriving at New York's JFK airport carrying the 13-month-old David Banda reveals that the child is apparently wearing a red Kabbalah bracelet.
Oh, God, it's too late.
The string is not to protect a person from negative influences. Madonna recently criticized for, planning to teach a Kabbalah-themed curriculum at a school for orphans she's opening in Malawi. Apparently, some people call it reprehensible for Madonna to insist on a Kabbalah connection when fellow celebrities like Bono and Angelina Jolie have done work in Africa with no strings attached. Madonna's rep says that the ancient Jewish mystical practice is not much different than what a child would hear in Sunday school. Whatever.
Okay. That's the official, carefully studied assessment of the news department at CBS Radio.
Have you seen the sad little picture of her carrying around the boy with the red string on his wrist?
No, really?
Yeah, she's
the
already
boy with the red string.
The Kabbalah thing on
him. I was going to say, that'll
be the title of her next children's book.
Is he going to be like the boy with the purple socks? All right, let's see here. A little hairy through the spy humor there. I'm sorry, what? I'm fine, Scott. Scotty's telling me that. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Is this Sarah?
Yes.
Hi there. How can I help you?
You were asking for stories about I was close to dying.
Yes.
That was yesterday.
Your phone. Are you calling from near the... There's a lot of noise at the right. Where are you at?
I'm on a cell phone.
Where at?
In Puerto Rico.
Really?
Yes, really.
Well, I'm just... Okay, Sarah does not believe... Sarah Dillon...
I think we have an affiliate down there.
Sarah Dillon does not believe that you are really in Puerto Rico.
I believe she's in Puerto Rico. I mean, she wouldn't lie.
Would you lie, Sarah?
Thank you, Sarah. No, of course not.
Do you have an H or no H?
A what?
Do you have an H on the end of your name or no H?
No, no H.
Okay.
Do you know Ted in Puerto Rico?
Ted?
Never mind. So, now, how do you listen to the program, Sarah?
Podcast.
Fantastic. So you listen.
I'm an hour behind.
So you download the program and then you listen to it. So you have it. Do you have a story about the closest you came to dying?
Yes.
All right. Well, please now to be sharing that with us.
Well, I was 15 and I was attending my town's public school, high school, which is like a 3-minute walk from one of the worst barriers of the island.
Now, what is the worst, in case anybody should ever go there from here, what is the worst area of Puerto Rico? Where should they, what should they avoid?
Probably the metro area.
Avoid, okay.
Not to avoid it, but not to go there by yourself.
Would it help if I took my own gun with me?
Excuse me?
Would it help if I took a gun with me?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Excellent. Okay, avoid and take
you'll
gun.
You'll land in jail, but yeah, it would help.
Man, we can't all win. Okay, all right, so then, so you were walking around, and then what, a guy just shot at you?
No, actually, I had a friend who took advanced English class with me,
mm-hmm.
who lived there. And that day, he had left his notebook home, and we had to deliver a project. So he asked me to go with him, and I went with him. When we were walking in that barrier already,
yes,
this guy jumped me from behind and grabbed me and put a gun to my temple.
Oh, Jesus. Good God. And so what, I mean, was he mugging you or was he just up to no good? Like, what was, how did you get away?
He was as high as a kite. You know, he was looking for his next fish.
Yeah. So he just needed, he was just looking for money.
Yes. And he was asking my friend, you know, like for $10, or he was going to shoot.
Now, does $10, did that buy a lot of drugs in Puerto Rico?
At that time, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so how did you get away?
Actually, I don't remember, but my friend told me that I stepped on his foot and, like, it pushed his arm away, and the gun went off.
Yeah, so, but it went off, but it didn't hit you, obviously. It missed you.
It actually came so close to my temple that it burned me with the gunpowder. It drew a pretty straight line as if it was a paper cut.
Really? So the bullet actually was so close that it actually put a mark on you?
Yes.
Oh, that's it. And then you just did, what, did you just run, or did he ran away? He ran away, or what?
When I came to, because I blacked out. When I came to, these guys from the barrio, you know, the head honchos,
yes,
were pretty much beating on the guy who jumped.
Oh, so they were working him over, yeah. Let me ask you this, if I can answer that. How did you discover our program? So if you're listening to this via podcast, how did you first discover our show, Sarah?
Through Storm Lodge forum board.
Really? Oh, okay, great. So you're a fan of Storm, and then you were looking at her message board, and because we've done a lot of interviews with her, and then they linked back to us.
Yes.
Okay, fantastic.
And I love the interviews. I love your show. I love,
excellent,
you know, your comments. So that is why I keep coming back.
Fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, sir. Well, as this is a great time to do this. So you have led us right into something. So I'll tell you what, we'll keep you on hold. You are in Puerto Rico. Now, forgive my ignorance, because I'm a dumb American, so I don't know this. So Puerto Rico, now, are you, what section of it do you live in, or is it like a region of Puerto Rico? Like, whereabouts there do you live?
I live in San Juan, which is the capital.
Okay, all right. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to keep you on hold here, and then you'll be able to hear this again next hour in the podcast, if you download this hour. We're going to keep you on hold so you'll be able to hear this, because we actually just got this today. We have the newest release from Storm and the Balls, which is Ladylike, featuring Dave Navarro and Nate Morton from the House Band, as well as Davey Nipples and Jimmy from the Balls. So I'm going to put you back on hold, Sarah. Thank you for listening. Spread the word in San Juan, will you please?
Of course, I will.
All right. Thank you, Sarah. I'm going to put you on hold so you can listen to this. All right. There you go.
Oh, wow. That's, cool. That's terrific. That's our first call ever.
Behold the worldwide reach of the Rick Emerson Show. Where is your God now? All right. So I'll tell you what. Let's go ahead and roll this here. This is straight from Davey Nipples. This is the new release from Storm and the Balls. This is the newest version of Ladylike. This is with Dave Navarro on guitar, Nate Morton from the House Band on percussion, and then, of course, Davey Nipples, Storm, and Jimmy from the Balls. Here you go. This is the Navarroized version of Ladylike. Ladies and gentlemen, the new one from Storm and the Balls, right here on the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Don't go anywhere.
I'm sorry about your girl, little center of the universe. Axis turns the world, and you need a jet to get to her. And all the way she moves the track, so kind, so focused. From all over the room, she smokes, not ladylike. She's not ladylike.
like it, ladies like to do what the weather like, just like you. Yeah, just like you. Look how manicured.